Marcy, have you ever heard of Jane Franklin? I'll give you a clue. Colonial America, Jane Franklin.
No, I've heard of Abigail Adams.
Okay.
No Jane Franklin.
Well, you're going to find out about her right now. She was Ben Franklin's sister. In fact, Ben Franklin's favorite sister.
Who knew he had a sister?
Who knew? Historian Jill Lepore has written a biography of Jane, largely drawn from the letters that she and Ben wrote to each other, and it's called Book of Ages. Jill Lepore teaches history at Harvard, and she's a staff writer for The New Yorker. She talked with the Record's David Hyde.
So why did you decide to write a book about Ben Franklin's sister, Jane Franklin?
Oh, gosh. You know, what I did was mainly not decide to write a book about Jane Franklin. It took me forever to commit to it because it was such an impossible project. But I have this really immersive reading habit, which is when I find a writer that I like, I have to read everything that that person ever wrote. And so when I came across Ben Franklin, I really liked his voice as a writer. He's quite charming and funny. And so I went to the library and I pulled off, you know, Franklin's papers are printed and published in bound volumes. There's like 40-something of them. And I read them one after another sitting in the library one day. And every other letter he wrote was to this sister of his named Jane, whom I had never heard of. And I was just fascinated. It turns out he wrote more letters to his sister Jane than he wrote to anyone else. But it turns out that a lot of her half of the correspondence is missing, which is what makes it such a difficult life to write, and which is why I could never decide to write it, and it took me years to commit to it.
Well, let's talk more about her and just what life was like for women at that time growing up in Boston in the early 1700s.
So Franklin was born in Boston in 1706, and his sister's born 6 years later in 1712. There's 17 kids in their family. He's the youngest boy. She's the youngest girl. And when you, it's a terrific story because when you, they live for almost the entire 18th century. You know, their lives just span one of the most important centuries in human history. Just revolutionary ideas in science and political philosophy and religion. And they travel through those revolutionary ideas very differently. They take a very different course, and you can trace it because of this correspondence. But their lives could really hardly have been more different. And the first thing that is different is their education. Because in the 18th century, girls were not commonly taught to write. It was quite unusual for a girl to learn how to write. Reading and writing were taught separately. Everyone was taught to read in colonial New England so that you could read the Bible and devote yourself to God's will and the study of Scripture. But only boys learned how to write. Girls then learned how to stitch instead and to do their domestic work. Jane, it was unusual that she learned to write as well as she did. I think she probably learned from her brother, who loved her very much. They were extremely close as children. Benny and Jenny, they were called. But, you know, Franklin ran away from home when he's 17, and he goes to London, and he sleeps with prostitutes, and he fathers an illegitimate child. Jane is similarly venturesome and a little bit rebellious as a teenager. She gets married at 15. She was probably pregnant. I mean, you can at every juncture of their lives, you see the consequences of that gap that lies between them.
Jill Lepore is a history professor at Harvard University. She's also a staff writer at The New Yorker. And her latest book is about Ben Franklin's sister, Jane Franklin, and it's called Book of Ages. I keep turning back to Franklin. I feel almost bad doing that because yeah. You're intentionally writing a book that's sort of not about Ben Franklin. But what was his relationship with her like?
He was extremely close to her, and he needed her to be who she was, which was sort of stuck in the world that he left behind. You know, if you're the kind of person that sort of left your family of origins behind a little bit, moved away where the one was, you know, in my family, I'm the one who left home, moved far away, I live in quite a different world. You almost sort of need the people that you left behind to stay who they are. You kind of define yourself. They're kind of an anchor to your past. You're different from them, but you need them to be who they were. You need their sameness to mark out your differentness. Franklin needed Jane in that same way. One of the things that's tough is they're very different ideas about religion. So they're raised in a very devout Puritan family. Franklin rebels from that very early on. Even by the age of 12 or so, he's already questioning providence and the idea that everything in life is fated by God. And he has this, he wants to be the author of his own life. He doesn't want God to be the author of his life. And so they have arguments about religion all the time. But you see, so Jane gets married at 15. She has 12 children. 10 of them die before she does. She endures grief after grief after grief. My book about her is called Book of Ages because she makes a little journal for herself in which she keeps track of the births and deaths of her children. And it's this completely devastating document. And I really wanted to sort of meditate and ask a reader to think about what does it mean to live in a life where you marry at 15 and have 12 children and 10 of them die? And that's ordinary. That's not unusual. How do we measure the distance between our world and that world? Because I think we do need to push and see that distance and not think, oh, the 18th century people were just like us, because no, they weren't.
Why is that kind of radical difference between the present and the past so important?
I think that we very easily collapse the distance between the past and present, often for sort of narrow political purposes. Like, we kind of go fishing around in the past for some view that supports some political argument we want to make. Oh, you know, especially, you know, think about Franklin and all the political purposes he's been put to. People go back and, you know, pull some goofy little quote of Franklin's out of his Poor Richard's Proverbs and use it, you know, on the floor of the Senate to make an argument about a piece of legislation, as if Franklin were speaking across time to us. And people don't speak across time in quite that way, in that instrumental way. They speak across time to us the way poetry speaks across time to us, the way in which we understand our fellow human beings suffering and questioning their fate or accepting their fate and mourning the loss of others and delighting in the company of those they love. Those sorts of humanistic ways, I think, we need to understand people across time. But that requires understanding that people are different than we are. You don't love a poem because it reminds you of you. And you don't love a historical figure because he's just like you. It's actually about understanding people's difference. That's where our capacity for true humanity lies.
And is part of the interest that you had in this story her uniqueness, her difference, you know, from our time, but also from other women in her era?
I was really interested in what it would offer. You know, Franklin famously, among the many wonderful things this wonderful person did, was he invented the bifocal. You know, you cut a glass frame, cut your glasses in half and use different lenses above and below so that you can see both things that are near and close and they look the same size. Historians kind of need bifocals to see something like the 18th century where, as you say, like Franklin is so big and Jane looms so small. It's a very ordinary life and leaves a very small trail behind. But I don't think Franklin comes into focus unless you can also see Jane at the same time. That I think that we, because the historical record is so asymmetrical, we know so much more about Benjamin Franklin than we do about Jane. We actually have no history of inequality, no real rigorous history of inequality. And what question is more urgent today for us to understand than the nature of inequality and the persistence of inequality? No one really understands why inequality persists. And we also don't have a history of it. And one reason we don't have a history of it is because the historical record is so asymmetrical. It's so unequal. So I felt like one of the brilliant things about Franklin is this insight that you could use a set of lenses to see things so that they would be in proportion to one another, so that you could comprehend them in this binocular way. And that, I felt, when I really did throw myself into the project and become quite passionate about writing about Jane, that felt to me meaningful.
Jill Lepore, history professor at Harvard University and a staff writer for The New Yorker. Her recent book is a biography of Ben Franklin's sister, Jane. It's called Book of H's.